Brother John, would you pray for us, please? Thank you, Brother John. Thank you. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by schedule, but you can if you want to. Been in the book of Genesis, I think, just about a year. Someone asked me where we was going to be this morning. Some smart aleck, and I said, yeah, we'll probably be in Genesis. No, it takes out. It's a big book. It's a big book. And maybe one of my, I know it's one of my favorite books. But anyway, we saw the creation of all things, the corruption of all things, the condemnation of all things, and the confusion of all things. And then we finished that as the first book of Genesis, and then we went in the second book of Genesis, and we saw Abraham beget Isaac, and Isaac beget Jacob, and then we've moved over to the third book of Genesis, and we've been looking at Joseph. He was doing right in his daddy's tent. When he was home, he did right, and then he got threw in the pit. And he did right. And then he got sold to Potiphar, and he did right down at Potiphar's house. And then he got lied on, put in jail, and he did right over there in the prison. And then he got the Lord delivered him. And now in Pharaoh's house, he's doing right. And now the brothers, it's a picture of us, always doing wrong. They come down to buy some corn. We saw last week in chapter 42, and he spoke rough to them, a little bit of persecution there, a little bit of hard times, and for maybe like 3 days, but he'd been in prison for 3 years, and they go back home with the corn. Chapter 42 ends in August. Then chapter 43 is where we want to start today. That starts up in April. The corn got them through the winter. It's kind of like they canned it or whatever, however you want to look at it. But they got enough to get through the winter. And then we're in chapter 43 now. And there's a great need we see as we start off. The whole thing from 42 to 45 is Joseph the stranger. He made himself strange to the brothers. And they didn't recognize him anyway. He doesn't reveal himself yet. And now this trip, when they come back in 43, he's going to treat them different. That was one test. Sometimes we'll fail under persecution. Sometimes we'll fail under pleasure. Man. The enemy has a bag full of tackle and bait, and he knows which one's good for me or you, or he'll try all of them. Verse 1 and 2 here. This time, Joseph's going to treat him kindly. We'll see how that plays out. And the famine was sore in the land, chapter 43, Genesis. And it came to pass when they'd eaten up the corn, which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said to them, go again and buy us a little food. Here's the great need, the chance of everybody, the whole family starving to death. And then starting in verse 3, the price of the corn. The price of the corn is, he said, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. It started in verse 3. And Judah spake unto him, unto daddy, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had a brother? And they said, the man asketh straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words, which we certainly know that, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. They're in a desperate situation is what's going on. And then verse 10, for except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. Did I read 9? Did I skip 9? 9. And Judah's still talking. And Judah says, I will be surety for him. Now, brave old Reuben back in 42:37, I'm talking about not this Reuben here. This Reuben in the Bible. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you my two sons to be surety, to hold. And if we don't come back with Benjamin, you can kill him. You can kill your own grandson. You can kill my son. But Judah has something completely different here. He said, I will be surety. He said, if Benjamin don't come back, you can kill me. And he said, I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. And you see this happening here in 44:32. And he's telling this to Joseph, really. And he said, for thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. And we see that forever part over in chapter 49. In verse 10, it's in the prophecy, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh comes. Well, that's till Jesus comes, and that's forever. That's forever. And Judah stuck good to his word. This pledge that he gives to his daddy is the same pledge. Reuben's was insane. Judah's pledge is sane. It makes sense that he would do that. It's sincere. He meant it. It's real. It's successful. It's from a new heart. Judah has changed. He's not the same old Judah. He has changed. And Joseph's going to see that a little bit later. Starting in verse 11. And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, now do this. Take the best of the fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present. A little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take double money in your hand and the money that was brought again in the mouth of the sacks. Carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. That's the provisions for the way we talked about last week and the extra money that was put back in their sack. Take also your brother and arise and go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother. He gets so aggravated with him. He's so mad. He won't say Simeon's name that's locked up down there in prison. He said that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. Yeah. If I'm bereaved of my children, I'm bereaved. Jacob has to submit. Brother Matt was talking this morning. The Lord will put your face right in the dirt if he has to. You can't box with the Lord. He's got long arms. And the Lord's going to win. And Jacob needed to do this. And he submits. And he said, God Almighty be with you before the man. The man. And then here's the preparation. Verse 15. And the men took the present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now, he's treating them with pleasure, if you will. Last time he was spoke rough to them, this time he's been friendly. He's, as a matter of fact, he's got a meal prepared for that he paid for. He initiated it. He invites them, and Joseph pays the total cost. It's a marvelous privilege that they get to eat with Joseph. And it could be a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb right here. It's going to be a treat for us, for sure. And starting in 18, and the men were afraid. They've been afraid for 22 years now. They've got a guilt complex. They've lived under guilt for 22 years. I did just about the same thing 22 years, and then someone came by with a Bible and showed me how I could be forgiven, receive Christ and get forgiven. All I had to do was tell him I was sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. And he did. And they've been living under guilt for 22 years. Jacob's been living under remorse, and he's been mourning for 22 years. The brothers under guilt. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. You wouldn't be afraid in the church house, would you? And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sack at the first time are we brought in. We always get it wrong, you know. That he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. He's not interested in their donkeys or whatever they have. The meager fare they have. 19, and they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, "O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand, and other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put the money in our sacks." Verse 23. And he, the servant, said, "Peace be to you and fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money," and he brought Simeon out unto him. Again, he's kindness. They're seeing kindness. And I know it's not Joseph saying it, but it's Joseph's minister that says, "Peace be unto you and fear not." And again, we're studying Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus. And I counted there in the New Testament 20 times the Lord... Well, there's 20 times the Lord says, "Fear not." Now, a couple of those are in the epistles, but most of them it's Jesus talking. 10 times he said, "Be not afraid." Again, one or two in the epistles, mostly the Lord Jesus is saying that. And then, "Peace be unto you," 6 times. I think every one of those was the Lord. We're studying Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus. And we're studying the brothers, but we're learning about Rick and how wicked he is. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet and gave their asses provender, and they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. Verse 26, Genesis 43:26. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. Hold your hand there. Hold that your place. Let's go back to 37 and read it again if you don't care. If you'll humor me. 37, 22 years ago, 37:7, Joseph has a dream. God gives him a dream. In verse 7 it says, "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep." Yeah. Hold your finger there. We're coming back. Back in 43:27. And he asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive?" And they answered and said, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He's yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Hold your finger there. Look back in 37:9. And he dreamed yet another dream, and behold, and told it his brother, and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me." We can go back to 43. Just like the Word of God said. Right. The Word of God is sure. You can count on your Bible. You can depend on it. You can trust your Bible. You can rely on it. That's all they had then. They didn't have a Bible. They had a dream. Was the Word of God, and it came true. That's 28:29. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And then the placing, verse 30. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there, and he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." Now in the Hebrew, that means let's eat. Now, the presentation, or the unfamiliar, the seating here. Verse 32, and they set on for him, the servants set places. Have you ever been to a fancy dinner where they got your name at the plate? There was names at the plate, and the brothers were seated around the table in order of their birth, the firstborn around to the baby. And they set on for him by himself, this is Joseph by himself, and for them, the Egyptians, by themselves, for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that's an abomination of the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. They said, "Who is this guy? What's he know? We've been found out. Who is this guy?" The test was, 34. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. This is another test where the brothers going to be jealous when they saw the baby of the family get all this extra. It was a test. Joseph was checking them out. Would they be jealous? Would they be envious? But they weren't. They had fellowship. They passed the test. They had fun and fellowship among each other. They're not the same hard, thoughtless men that they'd been before. They passed the test. They're different. For the first time in 22 years, all 12 brothers are together, and only one of them is aware of it. Now, why did the brothers not recognize Joseph? We talked about this last week, but number one, it had been a long time. Been 22 years, but they did not recognize Joseph, partly because of time. Partly, also, they went to his funeral. They may have expected a slave, but back then slaves didn't live very long. They may have believed their own lie. You know, sometimes you tell a lie long enough, you get to believe it yourself. But they went to the funeral. He was shaved. Now, I don't know how much of a beard he had at 17 the last time I saw him, but some people do. Reuben does. He's only 17. He's got a beard. He was shaved. They didn't recognize him. The Egyptians shaved. The shepherds didn't shave. Israelites didn't shave. And the position he was in is one reason they didn't recognize him. They weren't looking for a king. They may have been looking for a slave. I doubt it. But they were not looking for a king. Hey, he's coming back. He's still coming. Last time they were there, he spake rough to them. He never did that before. Back in chapter 37, it's the brothers that spoke rough to Joseph.
Right.
That never happened before that Joseph talked rough to him. Then he talked to an interpreter. In chapter 42, he talked to them through an interpreter. He'd been in the Egyptian college for 22 years. He learned fluent Egyptian. And he talked to them through an interpreter. And another problem, one reason they didn't recognize him is they wasn't watching for him. They wasn't watching for him. Now, why were they not watching for him? He done told them in 37, we already read it. But they didn't believe. Unbelief is our biggest problem.
Right.
We just heard a message on it the other night.
Right.
Unbelieving believers.
Yep.
Unbelieving believers. That's Rick's biggest problem. That's our biggest problem. Let's look at a verse on that. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Well, that's unbelief. Again, we just heard it the other night. We're believers, but there's times we don't believe.
Right.
Paul Schaefer said our problem is we believe our doubts and doubt our beliefs.
Right.
Were you looking for him this morning when you got up? Was I looking for him? Was I looking for him down at the Tater Festival? Were you looking for him?
Yeah.
Are we looking for him? Well, maybe the problem is we don't believe. Maybe the problem is. Maybe that's why. Acts 1:11. This same Jesus. Acts 1:11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus.
Yes.
Which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Hey, he's still coming.
Right.
He's still coming. Am I looking for him? Or do I believe? Which way is it? Do I believe? Matthew 13:58. If the brothers believed the dream back in chapter 37... they've been looking for him.
Right.
If they believed the dream, they would know he had to be around somewhere because we haven't bowed down yet.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd have believed the dreams, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, things would have been a lot different. They'd been watching for him. They'd know he'd have to be around here somewhere. Matthew 13:58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Not because they wasn't good. Not because they didn't come to church. Not because they didn't read the Bible. Because of their unbelief. Because of unbelieving believers. Is why it is. Chapter 24 in Matthew. We've said it many times. If I believe, I get up here to the, well, now it's a red light. It's not a stop sign anymore. It had to be a lady run right through it the other day. Had to be a woman driver, wasn't it? Surely a fella wouldn't do that. Well, okay, I saw somebody. Gene Thomas was with me. Was there a woman, Gene? Gene was with me. Anyway, somebody run the red light. Hey, if you believe something bad's going to happen to you, you won't run the red light. I won't either. But if I don't believe that, I might take a chance. I might. Matthew 24:42. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. If I believe that, guess what? I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch. 44, therefore be ye also ready, Brother Rick, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready? Are you ready? I talked to my friend down at the festival, and he's not ready. He didn't want to get ready. He wasn't ready to get ready. But if he was a lost man telling me how much we need to pray because it's about time for Jesus to come back. But he wouldn't get ready.
Wow.
He wouldn't get ready. The reason he wouldn't get ready is he doesn't really believe it. He's heard that said. He believes in his head. He repeats what he's heard. But if he believed it, he would get ready. He would receive Christ. 21:32. Do you believe it all? Matthew 21:32. And John came, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him.
Right.
Here's a group that didn't believe. Now some believe. The common people believe. They received him gladly. Luke 1:20. Luke 1:20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. Here's your good King James definition. Not able to speak. The word's dumb. Until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Do you believe it? You believe it all? Or are you an unbelieving believer? Like we heard. But you told us there's unbelieving believers. Chapter 24, Luke 24:11. Sometimes I'm an unbelieving believer. Sometimes. Luke 24:11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The sin that doth so easily beset us is unbelief. It's easy for me to run the red light.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. John 6:64. Sometimes I second gear it and go on through. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. I've got a circle around that. Believe not, betray him. Believe not, betray him. Believe not, betray him. Chapter 10. It's easy to tell. Pharaoh believed. He believed the dream. Why didn't the brothers believe? They're in the family. John 10:26-27. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, Pharaoh believed. I don't know why the brothers didn't. I don't know, but they didn't. Because they're like us, or else we're like them. That's what happens a lot. Okay, well, let's go back to Genesis 44. We've got a little bit of time. Joseph the stranger, the second trip. The brothers are down there for the second time. The first time he used persecution or spake rough to them. The second time was pleasure. He gave them a banquet, a feast. And then five times as much to Benjamin to test to see if they were jealous or envious. The brothers in the past had conspired against Joseph in hate. And now he conspires in love for them. For them. Their greed, they sold him for money. And now he loads them up with money. All the money they can carry. Daddy told one lie and reaped 10 liars. And here's the brother. Here's the dilemma in 44. And he commanded the steward of the house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in the sack's mouth. And put my cup the silver cup in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money, and he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. We was told to do that, wasn't we? As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were going out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is it not this in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. Now then, how then should we steal out of my Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen." Did you ever just say something stupid? That's the dumbest thing they ever said. They shouldn't have said that. We're going to be judged. Brother Rick's going to be judged out of the words of his own mouth. Is how I'm going to be judged. And I've used too many. I've had too many wasteful words. According to your words. And verse 10, Joseph said, the servant says, Joseph says through the servant, he said, "Now also let it be according to your words." He said, "Okay. Okay. Let him die. And let the rest of you be our servants. Okay. Okay, let's look at it in Luke 19:22. Sometimes, most of the time, best thing I do is just be quiet. Sometimes I open my mouth just long enough to change feet. Luke 19:22. "And he said unto them, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow." Verse 10, again, back in Genesis 44. "And he said, now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." 11. "Then they speedily took down every man's sack to the ground and opened every man's sack, and he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest." Who are these guys anyway? "And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack." 13 is a crossroads. "And they rent their clothes and laid at every man's ass and returned to the city." They rent and return. Now, they didn't have to return to the city. They could have went home right then. They could have left Benjamin like they left Joseph in the pit. This was another test to see what the brothers would do. But they returned. They returned. They rent and return. They had come to the end of themselves. They come to the end of their pride. They'd come to the end of their cleverness. And they'd been outwitted, but they had changed. They returned. They returned. 14 and 44:14. "And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground." You want to go back to 37 and read them again? Or do you remember them? Yeah. The Lord said it was going to happen 22 years before that. The Lord told Joseph to tell him 22 years before that, this is going to happen. You're going to bow down. 15. "And Joseph said to them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine?" The brothers got to come to grips with the fact of Joseph's greatness. They've got to recognize that Joseph is great. We're studying Joseph, but we're learning about Jesus. And after the tribulation, the Jews are going to see how great he is.
Right.
They're going to bow down at the end of the tribulation. This is a picture of all that. 16. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord?" Now, they never called him Lord back in 37. "What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves?" Talking about judgment day now. "God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." Now what Judah did right here is he pleaded guilty to a blank check. Whatever. He said, "I plead guilty to whatever you say. You done found us out." I'll go ahead and tell you, on November 16th, 1974, I did not name my sins. I did not list them out. I told the Lord Rick was the problem. It wasn't the things I've been doing. It was Rick. It was Rick was the problem. I pleaded guilty to whatsoever. Whatsoever. And the Lord came in and forgave. Unworthy. Unworthy. 17, he said, "God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, get you up in peace unto your father." He said, "Y'all can go home." He said, "I got Benjamin here. Go on." Judah's getting ready to say, "I'd rather be in prison than Ben, and I'd rather be in prison than break Daddy's heart." That's what he's getting ready to say. "You know, for years you did this growing up. You obeyed because you knew if you didn't, your daddy would hurt you. But there come a point where we obeyed because we didn't want to hurt our daddy."
Right. Amen.
That's good. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.